Hello and welcome to Write Boom, the podcast where every week we interview writers about their journey to inspire you on your journey. And as usual, I'm your host, Jason Noxon. My guest this week is a comedy writer, film director, and an award-winning producer, director, editor, whose work has appeared on major networks such as CBS, NBC, Fox, ABC, and the CW Network. He is a comedy fanatic and has written and produced many short films and web series such as Welcome Home, Experimates, and Mandate. Please welcome to the podcast, Mr. Bobby Chase. Thanks for being here, Bobby. How are you this evening?
Thanks, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing really great.
Isn't everybody basically an award-winning producer or filmmaker nowadays?
You know what? I don't question that anymore.
It seems like it's easy to get an award nowadays. So,
I'm an award-winning father.
There you go.
Because I've my daughter has given me many awards, so I've got to put that in my bio.
Do you hang them on the fridge?
I keep them in my wallet.
There you go.
Cool. In case I get pulled over. It just accidentally falls out.
The car is always good.
Yeah, yeah, falls out. Oh, this my daughter made this for me.
And this is my beer on this passenger seat.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. Just look at the dog.
Yeah, she made this for me. I'm an award winning dad. So catch us up. Like, let us know how you got where you are today.
All right, I'll try to keep it as short as possible. I guess it basically started off, I went to school for communications at Plattsburgh, basically for audio and digital media, but they also had like a TV writing class, which I took and ended up writing like a spec for Seinfeld. And it kind of, I don't want to say it wasn't easy, but it was easier than, you know, a math class or something. So it kind of came naturally to me and I enjoyed it. So from there, you know, I took some more classes on filmmaking and made some short videos while I was in school. And then once I graduated, I had an idea for a screenplay. So I met with a friend that was also a writer. So we kind of teamed up, wrote our first feature, which took us about, I think, a year and a half, which was crazy. And then we spent another 6 months kind of rewriting it. But that's kind of my first, I guess, foray into screenwriting was that from school.
And now, had you written before, like written anything like before college? Like, were you ever interested in writing before that?
I wrote music, but that's not really the same thing. Short stories and stuff like that, like in high school. It's funny because I never liked writing in high school as much. I wasn't into like Shakespeare and all that stuff. It kind of turned me off a bit. I always loved comedy. So once I kind of realized that these movies I was watching there was writers behind them and those were their ideas, I was kind of, you know, intrigued by that. So just kind of did some more research on that and started taking classes and, you know, workshops and, working with some producers that you can kind of, you know, you can pay for their time and they give your feedback and stuff like that. So that's kind of how that got started.
Now, I think I read something somewhere that your writing, your screenplay did it bring you to LA for a time?
Yes, I was in New York for a while and I was kind of shooting some stuff down there. I wrote some short films and I ended up broke. I had like $300. So I used that $300 to kind of pay for catering and whatnot for a series I shot called Experimates. And that got me into, there's a festival out there called the Hollyweb Film Festival. So that got me in contact with, I've been working with a guy, his name's Joey Tuccio. He's basically, he helps writers out in California, hooks them up with, different producers, things like that. So he got me onto the Universal lot to talk to Rat Pack Entertainment, which is Brett Ratner's company. So I got to have like a general meeting, and general meetings are basically, you kind of go there, you talk to the people, you figure out if you guys want to work together, or they figure out if you're an idiot or an asshole and they kind of say, hey, you know, we'll see you later, something like that. So you go on a bunch of those usually. And a lot of them were through, well, it was that. And then I did this thing that was like kind of like speed dating for pitching out in LA. You kind of get like 5 minutes to pitch your project and you go around table to table. So I did that with a partner, which is fun because we acted out the scenes, which made it more entertaining, you know, for the producers or whoever was there trying to, it's usually like assistants, but you know, the other ones listened to your pitch. So that was how that went, but it was fun. And it was, like I said, it's kind of like speed dating in a way. So we got a lot of requests from our script, but I don't think the script was ready at that point. You know, that was our first screenplay, so there was definitely problems with it. They liked us, but they're like, ultimately, you know, they're very picky. I think it's like 1% of screenwriters are actually somewhat successful, which is, you know, tough. But so I think it was just, you know, not having the experience yet, maybe.
Right.
Bad timing. The Universal Studios was cool. I went up and I'm driving through the lot with my little Ford Focus, and I'm driving up through the parking lots, and I'm passing, like, you know, parking for Harrison Ford, and I'm seeing Michael Bay's glassback Ferrari. And there's me in a little tiny Ford Focus that smells like crap. And then they pick me up in a little golf cart and bring me there. It's kind of cool. We got to have lunch or like Steven Spielberg eats and stuff. So from a guy who's from a tiny town, that was kind of pretty exciting for me. But that was basically through like a connection I had while I was out there.
Okay. And so like, was there a point where... There's two different points in your life that I want to talk about, because it's known now that I stalk the people that I interview on the program.
So, as you should. Yes.
So I've read some things about you and your journey, and it's really interesting, because there had to have been a point where you're like, I have some talent. I should do this. I should pursue writing. Was there a moment that you can think of that where that kind of happened?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So I think you heard about this before. My brother ended up dying of suicide.
Yes.
And we went to the funeral. So the funeral is, I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral where something like that's happened, but it's totally completely different, like, tone.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So I had a lot of people kind of looking to me, I don't know, for guidance or something to kind of break the ice, I guess. So I ended up using my sense of humor to kind of ease the people's, pain you would call it.
Right.
And it kind of helped everybody. It was a total tone shift, really. So I saw that and I'm like, I was able to do this. I think that my point of view or my voice could, you know, be of good use in a comedy world or something like that. So I'm like, I think this might be a good route for me. This is after I've been writing for a while, but this kind of reassured me that I think, you know, I'm on the right path.
Right, right. God, that's got to be like a TED Talk.
yeah.
And, you know, I have to say, like, I really appreciate you bringing that up, because, I mean, to be able to share that with the listeners, you know, the whole goal of the podcast was to get people to listen to other writers, their different stories, and see what they can kind of attach themselves to say, hey, that guy's similar to me. You know, he's been through the same things I've been through, and look what he's doing. I could do that. And so I really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yeah, no problem.
Because I know there must be a lot of pain behind that. And it's nice that you kind of came out the other side with like renewed confidence in what you're doing and what you're trying to do, and you know, which is make people laugh,
know,
take them out of their space for a little while and help them through some things. So again, the things that I've read about you, there was a point where you were pitching ideas and you had screenplays and things. When was that moment when you decided, screw it, I'm just going to do it myself?
Yeah, I mean, it's looking back at it, it seems pretty simple why I did it. It was, you know, so much time, I don't want to say wasted, but, you know, the marketing of your writing and everything, and you're getting basically, you know, I'm sending out hundreds of query letters to people, and you're getting less than 1% response back if they like it or not. And if they like it, they'll read it, you know, but most of the time they don't get back to you. So it's like, why am I, you know, wasting all this time writing stuff that I might never even see when I can shoot it myself, you know, and kind of create my brand that way. And that way you have nobody kind of telling you what you can and cannot do. which is a great way to kind of, you know, show your voice. There's no filters, nothing like that. So, I mean, that was kind of that route. It was a no-brainer. I kind of knew how a little bit of how to shoot and edit and stuff like that. So, you know, my first couple of movies are crap, but I learned as I went, and I think they got better, and I think they'll keep getting better. So,
and that's a great point, because a lot of people don't get to see that part of somebody's art. They get to see the, like, the really great polished end product, but they don't, right. They don't get to see like the different things that they went through to learn how to make that end product look polished. And this is whether it's a book or a screenplay or a movie. You know, they just see what happens in the end, and it's really discouraging because you're like, well, mine doesn't look like that.
I know.
And
it's tough.
Yeah. And you don't get to see like the early drafts. You don't get to see the early short films that people have produced, and I think that's helpful for people to see.
Right.
You know, maybe some people aren't interested in it, but I know artists are.
Right.
Just by the over.
I mean, I'm sure you've written stuff before where you sat on it for a while and you go back and you're like, "The hell was I thinking?" Or this isn't that great, or something like that. You know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it needs time to kind of sit there and be like, what the hell was that?
Yeah. Oh, I found recently, I found pages I'd written in eighth grade. And
nice.
I was always like, I'm a pretty good writer. And I was reading this. I'm like, oh, I totally get why I got a C on this now. Like, it was garbage.
Not enough pictures, right?
Yeah, it was terrible. Oh, my gosh. And then, you know, you know, you look at stuff a couple years ago, there are some things where it's like, wow, that was really good. But there's a lot of stuff that's just like, come on, what was I thinking here? But I think you have to go through that. Like, you have to get that, you have to purge that. And, you know, I've done my share of comedy writing, and my wife will attest to this. I tell her, you have to write 9 bad jokes before you get 1 good one.
Oh, completely, yeah.
And she's like, well, let me know when you get to the good one.
Get to the good one, that's it. she should be your filtering system, but I guess she's not.
Yeah, no,
that's too bad.
No. Everything's not funny, because I think a lot of it's just repeated.
Yeah.
It's like, have I told you this before? So one thing that I wanted to ask you about was, like, can you give us some insight into your writing process?
4 to 5 times a week I'll write. Usually in the morning. It used to be at night. I'd usually have a couple of beers or whatever, but I'm getting older, so that's a little tough. Plus, whatever I write when I'm drunk is not the greatest. So I usually get up in the morning, you know, write for, it might just be a half an hour. Usually it's, I try to an hour, but usually it's about a half an hour. And I usually start from, you know, I'll just, do you want me to do like screenplays or teleplays, or does it matter? I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Whatever you want to tell us about.
Okay. Well, it's usually, I base it around, I'll write a log line first if we're talking about movies.
Okay.
So I'll base the whole premise on this log line, and then I'll start making characters on that. And then I'll kind of have my story beats written out. So it's like, you know, a treatment kind of.
Right.
Actually, I'll do the beats first, and then I'll kind of fill it in more with the treatment. And then I'll do that for a while. That might take a couple weeks to kind of figure out. That's kind of the hardest part for me. Usually it's the hardest part for anybody. Getting a good story down and your character arcs and all that stuff. I kind of use that as like my blueprint. So once I have that, I start actually breaking out and writing the dialogue and things like that. And recently what I've been doing is before I complete the whole screenplay, I'll kind of send like the first act to somebody and get feedback on that. And maybe I'll change it or maybe I won't, but at least I'll know where I'm going, what's working, what's not. And then the same thing, the second act I'll give, you know, I'll give it out, get some more feedback, and it kind of keeps going from there. So, I mean, I'll rewrite my stuff probably 15 times. From a draft. So I'll use, you know, it'll take about 6 months to a year or something usually.
Right. Based on, you know, what feedback you want to take, and you know that you can't take all of it because.
Right. You'll start to get a bullshit filter after a while. And you're like, I don't think that's the best for me. Like, you'll start to realize, okay, that's not good. That's not a good note. This isn't a good note. But a lot of times, you know, if you're working with the right people, there's really good notes, and then it'll help you realize things that you're missing or didn't, you know, even see So it's always good to give to people. It's good to give people, you know, friends too, but, you know, if you can work with people that don't know you at all, that are in the business, it's better. I mean, sometimes you can pay for those services too. If you're not, you know, if you don't know anybody, but that's a good way to go about it.
Right. I know like the checking the box, like on screenplay, contests and things like that to get feedback has helped my writing immensely. Yeah,
of course.
Because it's very valuable feedback. And it's not just like, here's all the things you did wrong. I mean, there's a lot of, here's what you did really well.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, okay, good. There's some stuff to hold on to there. But
exactly. It makes you feel a little better about it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And like, I remember maybe 10 years ago, I didn't want feedback from anybody. It was like, it's perfect the way that it is. And then
my baby.
And as I get older, it's like, I don't care as much about it. It's like, I just want it to be good.
Right.
And I also started to realize I don't know everything.
Yeah.
Like there's people out there that know more than I do. And, or even if it's somebody that doesn't know as much, you know, they still read stories and they like stuff and they come back with some things. It's like, wow, I didn't even think of that. Like I didn't see that. So it's just great to get another set of eyes.
Oh, always. It's good for an outside source, you know?
Exactly. Now you were talking about, like a writing group. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Okay. I mean, I've worked with a partner and I've worked with like a team of four. So I guess I'll just talk about like a team of four. So for the show Welcome Home, it's four writers. Right now, season two is three, but season one was four. So what we usually do is we'll just kind of sit down. It's sort of a similar process to what I do, you know, on my own. We kind of break out the premise and then the characters and then the story arcs of where they're going to go throughout these episodes. So we try to make the episodes kind of have a story arc through the season. Some of them kind of don't. Some of them are standalone. But like for season two, we have a complete story arc from episode one to six. And I think in season one, we had one episode that was kind of on its own. But same kind of thing. So we'll kind of break that down. And then I'll say, hey, you know, Justin, Dan, or Amanda, these are the scenes I'd like you to write. I'm going to write these in a week. Let's come back, present them, tear them apart, shit on them, rewrite them, and then continue from there. So it's a lot better with more people. I mean, the right people, obviously, yes, but more people has, you know, you have more ideas, more people to do the work. There's a lot more conflicts though, which is a pain, but you know, that's kind of the beast of television. So if you don't like that, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. I think maybe novels or, you know, screenplays are good too, but they tend to tear those apart as well. I don't want to discourage anybody. It's a different medium. So you got to be able to take rejection, I guess.
But I guess it must have its upside too. I mean, it must be, I've always wanted to be part of a group like that.
Yeah.
Like it must be funny, like just outlandishly funny at some points.
Yeah. We're sitting there, you know, making each other laugh. I think if I was to write it myself, it wouldn't be as good as with the four of us. You know, we have four different, you know, sensibilities. So it all kind of ends up equaling one vision really. So it's not really one person's particular vision of the show. So it kind of, you know, melts down into one certain thing, which is kind of cool. It's different, you know?
Right.
But I think it definitely elevates the content by having more people. And I think that's why a lot of shows that are like network shows have like 12 people on the writing cast, you know, plus they have a bunch of episodes they have to knock out too, but yeah, it helps in the brainstorming session.
And then also when somebody quits, like an actor quits, you have to,
yeah, you got to rewrite.
We rewrite
constantly. It's insane. Ridiculous.
Did you do a lot of rewriting on Welcome Home?
Oh, my God. All the time. Especially even shooting. Right before we're shooting, you have to rewrite stuff. You know, we have actors that have full-time jobs, and they can't always make it. So we have to rewrite stuff. And, you know, there's timing conflicts, weather, whatever. You just always have to kind of be on your feet and be able to change directions constantly.
But it still sounds like more rewarding than not. Now, Welcome Home is available on Amazon, right?
Yes.
Amazon Prime.
Roku, I think, too, yes.
Oh, okay, good. because I want to make sure people know where to find that, because if you haven't seen it, it's very funny. And so, like, as far as a writer, so putting filmmaking aside, as a writer, what's your biggest challenge?
I would say, you know, the constant rejection. You know, there's times when I'm not a depressed person, but there's days where I'm depressed, and writing comedy is pretty hard to do when you're not feeling funny. So there's always those days where you're like, oh, I feel like shit, I don't want to write. But I usually try to do it anyway. I mean, it doesn't come out very well, but it's, I look at it as a muscle that you need to constantly train. So, you know, you get through it anyways. So, you know, the rejection, which is kind of normal for anybody, but I'm used to that. I used to get rejected by girls a lot, so I kind of grew up getting through that stuff. You know, and then for, if you're talking about group writing, you know, it's the constant battling, fighting to get, you know, what you think is right. But I kind of learned that you need to kind of surrender your ego for like the good of the project.
Right.
Otherwise it'll crumble and you won't have anything. So, you know, picking your battles is pretty wise.
That's a good point. And I would imagine like setting up, everybody in a way that's like, everybody has an overarching, like they know the goal, they know the end goal. And so everybody's kind of working towards the same goal, and you get, you know, you get a bunch of passionate people in a room together. They're going to have conflict, but you right. know, it's all worth it in the end.
Oh yeah, of course.
So
is it, doing it right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why would you keep doing it to yourself?
Why am I doing this?
Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?
Stop hitting yourself.
So is there anything that you've discovered along your journey, either through a failure or a success, and let's be honest, most of the time it's through a failure, that you wish you'd known before you got started?
Wish I'd known beforehand, huh?
So if you could go back and talk to little Bobby.
You know, it was kind of when I was younger, I was a very, I was an introvert. I still kind of am, but I think I've come out of my shell a little bit. You know, and when I was younger, that's kind of the problem. It was, I didn't have an easy time asking people for stuff, you know, and as somebody who's an artist or in this kind of field, you have to constantly ask for help. So I would have told myself just to stop being a bitch and do it. you know, nobody's going to wait around for you. So, you know, that's it. And maybe give me some better advice how to pick up women, because it wasn't working
out. Right. Whatever you had going on wasn't working.
Yeah, right.
I think that's all of us.
Yeah.
So for the writers out there, is mm-hmm. there any, like, one big piece of advice that you'd give an up and coming writer, or, you know, somebody that's been in the game for a while but needs a little bit of a kick? Is there a piece of advice that you would give them?
Yeah, I probably got a few. I'll try to stay away from the ones that I'm sure you'll probably hear over and over. I always like to say, like, don't listen to people, listen to inspiration. A lot of people are going to tell you what you should be doing or how you should be doing it, and they usually don't. They're not in it for your best interest, or they don't know shit really. So, like, I've been told to do things that I don't think I should be doing, or, you know, and I'm like, I don't, that doesn't sound anything like me at all. So I think sticking to your guns or sticking in your lane is the best way to do it. And I think you'll find, you know, on the other side of the tunnel, it'll be, you know, a lot better if you do. And then, especially with writing, I think, nowadays, especially with all of the platforms and different ways to get your message out there, what have you, you can kind of be as specific as possible. You know, don't, I guess I wouldn't shoot for writing like a broad story like a lot of Hollywood movies do for like four quadrant family and, you know, all that stuff. Because nowadays you have an audience that is specific looking for whatever, and you can write that, and you can find, you can make your way into the business kind of that way.
So be yourself.
Yeah. I mean, you know, don't try to make, you know, another, I don't know, superhero movie that's kind of bland. I mean, I'm not telling you not to do that, but try to find something you're interested in, that maybe nobody's touched on yet, And even if you think nobody's going to like it, you're going to probably find a niche that people will like it. But you won't know until you try.
There's somebody out there for, there's a, what is it? There's a lid for every pot.
Right. So I worked with Justin Alves, who is, he plays Justin on the show. He wrote a teleplay for this project, Pastor Pete, and I worked with him on it as a producer and a director. And it's a comedy about, you know, a pastor. So we got into the Florida as a international film festival, and we're watching all the films, and, you know, they're good films, but they're all heavy-handed drama. So when we presented ours, everybody was like dying for that release.
Right.
And they were just crying. Like the project we did is not a laugh out loud project. It's funny moments, but people were just like, they needed it so bad. So I'm like, that's a good way to think about it, because that's kind of a niche audience right there. Nobody's really doing any, you know, comedy in the religious form. So that's just kind of an example, I guess I could give you.
Right. Right. To just, you know, right from the heart. Right for yourself. There was one thing that another guest had mentioned, and something that I've actually been learning at improv, is that by the time, if you try to get to grapple onto a trend, it's over.
Yeah,
like exactly. If you're writing a book about zombies now, you're probably going to miss it by the time it gets published.
If it ever gets
published. So you just got to go with what you are interested in. I mean, like you said, you just have to find something that you're interested in and write about that, because you're going to be more passionate about it. That's going to come through in your writing, and people are going to be more likely to like pick it up and read it.
Right. That's a good point though. So for instance, like when I was writing screenplays, I would work with these producers out in California, and they would give me like, oh, this is trending right now. Let's do some found footage movies or whatever have you. So, you know, I would kind of tailor my screenplay around what's trending. And by the time I wrote the thing, it wasn't trending anymore. And, you know, you just wasted all this time, and it's like, what the hell am I doing? So you're better off just writing something that you're going to be proud of instead of just hoping you're going to sell it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think that's a good point, because people want a good story. I talked to a publisher and he's like, I want a good story. I don't want the next 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
You know, that book was already horribly written. I want the next good story.
50 Shades of Jason.
What's that?
50 Shades of Jason.
That's right.
Your wife would love it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, I wouldn't have a wife anymore. That'd be,
there you go.
That'd be something different.
Yeah, it would be.
Hopefully she doesn't. She's not going to listen to this podcast.
You can edit it out, can't you?
Yeah, it's true. That is true. So, Bobby, what are you working on now that you'd like everybody to know about?
Well, we're shooting our second season for Welcome Home. And you can kind of go there. Welcome Home Comedy is the website. You can find it on Amazon. You know, I have my own production company, so I do a lot of commercial and corporate video as well. And I'm trying to, I think in the fall, I'm going to shoot a short, which is called Jacob. And it's about, you know, my experience, you know, finding my brother after it happened. It's not a comedy, but there are some comedic elements. So I'm trying to shoot that in the fall. We'll see what happens with Welcome Home first. We have a pretty ambitious schedule. So
that's awesome. And again, you can find that on Amazon and on Roku.
It's on Roku. I think it's through the Stream Now TV app on Roku.
Okay.
So we're also on Stream Now. So.
And then as far as social media, like where could people find you?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I am on Twitter. The handle is Sound Armory. That was a name from college. I just never changed. And then I'm also on LinkedIn. I don't check that often, but I am on there. And I think that's... it's pretty much the only ones I kind of check. So,
and as usual, I always list your social media stuff on the show notes of the show, okay, so that people can find you should they want to find you. I'm not going to put your address or anything, but I will put your social media links,
social security number,
social security number, and a reference.
Perfect.
So, Bobby, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Hey, and a lot of good advice from Bobby. And again, this is kind of a trend on the podcast. Be yourself. So that's it for another episode of the Right Boom Podcast. If you haven't already, go over to iTunes right now. I'll wait. And review the podcast, a good review, and subscribe. That would really help us a lot. On Facebook, you can find us. We're Right Boom Podcast. On Twitter, I'm Jason Noxon, JasonNoxon. Also on Instagram, also on the web with a .com after it. And if you'd like to send some suggestions for the show or have some feedback, you can email me at me@jasonnoxon.com. So until next time, what are you doing listening to podcasts? Go write.